Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
I guess one good positive thing about this is that I'm like talking to you face to face. I can't see your face. I can see your comments right now. The rest of you can't see the comments that people put on there. People, Mike Tufel, Helen Parrott, Joan, Annie, Joey, Kathy, Carolyn Hunt. People are watching, and I see that when it comes up. That's encouraging. I appreciate that. I wish that we could see each other face to face. But the positive thing about this is that I think it's like you and I are just having a conversation. At least I'm preaching to you face to face. And I think it's better when you sit in church. Often everybody has their little place they sit in the building, you know, and you can be 30 feet away. You can be 15 feet away if you sit on the front row. And here, you're only about a foot and a half away, so that's kind of nice. I think maybe you'll pay better attention. Maybe I'll communicate better. I don't know. And I'm just glad to be with you tonight. And can you believe it's Good Friday? It's been Passion Week this week, Passover on Tuesday evening and Wednesday, and now here we are on Good Friday. Hello, Amy. Good to see you. I want us to pray together, and I will lead us in prayer right now. You pray with me, would you? Lord, we thank you. You foresaw all this, that we would be here at such a time as this in year 2020, and that we would be struggling through these internet connections and Facebook and trying to stay connected as best we can. And Lord, we just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the people that are taking the time right now to stop what they're doing and to, on their phones or on their computers, listen to a man that has a word from you to share. And just thank you, God, for that, that you give an outlet. And I pray that the word that goes forth tonight will help people, will encourage people and strengthen people. And we just say thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So don't forget, we are going to do Easter morning together, Facebook Live, provided that, the Lord helped us. We prayed. Jenny and I were struggling with this. Eric had some things going on. He couldn't be there. And so Jenny jumped in, and we were putting this together tonight. And it looked like about 2 minutes ago that we were going to have to just put up a sign that said, "We're having technical difficulties again. Sorry." But right at the last minute, it clicked on, and we're going. So we're very thankful. The Lord helps us. You know, we can boldly say the Lord is our helper. He really does help us. And we're just very, very thankful for that. I want to encourage you, when you go back to the church building, you're going to be surprised at some landscaping that's taking place there. It wasn't an accident today. It was actually by divine appointment that some of the ladies in our church who are really conscientious about wanting to make the church property look better with shrubs and flowers and all of that, they made a connection with a professional landscaper. His name is Bobby, and he will be watching with us Facebook Live Sunday morning. And he's a Christian man, and he brought his crew out there and volunteered his time and is doing some landscaping for us, totally free of charge, just to bless us. So, you know, we just, you never know what good's coming right around the corner, you know, how God connects people to other people, and then that connection winds up being a blessing to the whole body of Christ. But He's got plans to help us. He's going to put the cross that was on top of the building. He's going to put that out there in the field. And anyway, you'll see all of that. And just a lot of beautiful things happening. Hey, William, good to see you. Hey, Anna Kreider, good to see you. And so a lot of good things will be happening there. So I'm encouraged by that. And so I want to encourage you. So the next time you come to the church building, and I hope that won't be that long from now, you'll see a lot of wonderful new landscaping taking place on our property there. Well, I want to take you to the Word tonight, and I want to read to you a scripture in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 in verse 33. This is Good Friday. It's good because of what happened on our benefit, for our, on our behalf. And so it is a good Friday for us. Although the first time when this happened, of course, Jesus on the cross, it was a horrendous, horrible time. But good came out of it. In fact, the possibility that the whole world could be saved by one man, Christ Jesus. And so Good Friday is about this particular verse of Scripture. It says in Luke 23, verse 33, when they came to the place which is called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals with him, one on the right and one on the left. So when they came to the place called the Skull. I've been blessed two times to go to Israel. Last time was 2015. And both of those times I got to visit Golgotha and was able to, which is Calvary. And it was, it's an interesting place. It's not where I thought it would be. I saw pictures of this, you know, even as a child, I was fascinated and hoped that one day I'd be able to go to see this place where Jesus was crucified on Golgotha, this hill that has the image of a skull. You can see the eyes and the nose and the mouth and the skull of the picture. You can Google that later and see it if you haven't seen it. And it looks like a skull. And so when I was there, both times, what's interesting is that you can't go right up to it. There's a platform. It's actually a little bit of territory there. It's owned by an Arab who owns a public bus transportation company for there in Jerusalem. So just feet away from where Jesus was crucified, there's a pavement in front of it, and these buses are going back and forth like a turnaround spot right there in front of Golgotha, the place where Jesus bore the sins of the world. And so it's a busy place because there's a bus station there, and it's right at the foot of Calvary, the place of the skull. In fact, in Latin, the word is Calvaria, which means the skull. That's where we get the name Calvary. And so I was surprised to see there's a bus station there, of all things. And really, it's not unlike it was in the time of Jesus. There wasn't buses, of course, but right outside the city gate. I mean, this was in just walking distance of the city gate of Jerusalem. You see Calvary, and there would have been a road there. And so it would have been a busy place. And criminals were taken there, and they were crucified on crosses, not on top of the hill. That's where I always thought Jesus was, on top of that hill, but actually in front of it, so that the skull, the image of the skull, was behind Jesus or behind the criminals. And so just within walking distance, coming right outside the city, here's Skull Hill. This is where the criminals would be crucified, where Jesus was crucified, and there would be traffic going by all the time. And it was used as a way by the Romans to put fear in the Jewish people. If they messed up, this is what was going to happen to you. They wanted it to be public. They wanted it to be an intimidating thing. And this was where Jesus was crucified, Skull Hill. I hope you get a chance to go to Israel one day. It's one of my dreams is to take a tour of people over there. I'd love to take you over there and let's tour that land together and see this place in person. Well, this was God's idea, that Jesus would be publicly crucified. It wasn't a random idea. This was not the bad guys getting Jesus and killing Jesus. This was God's plan. That's what's fascinating. In fact, Old Testament prophecy, you know, prophecy, the Bible's prophecy. Prophecy is where God foretells something before it takes place, and then it takes place in exact detail the way God said it would. He predicted it. He declared it. And that's how we know the Bible is the Word of God. We know the Quran's not the Word of God. We know these other books of other religions are not the Word of God. But we do know the Bible is the Word of God because it's prophetic. Every time God has declared something beforehand, it comes true exactly to the detail. And the details of Jesus' crucifixion, the details of his life, the details of his death, the details of his resurrection are so incredibly intricate that it's miraculous that they came true 100%. This is how we know the Bible is the Word of God. Well, it says this in Isaiah, hundreds of years before Christ was crucified. It says in Isaiah 53:10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Messiah that was coming. It pleased God. Not that God takes pleasure in pain or sorrow or causing someone grief, but this death, this sacrifice of his perfect son, it actually pleased God to bruise him, because by bruising Jesus as a guilt offering for us, we go free. This becomes Good Friday. See, when Peter confessed Christ, you know, when Jesus said, Peter, who do men say that I am? And who do you say I am? He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then a few moments later, in the same conversation, Jesus was telling all the disciples and Peter how he was going to die, how he was going to die a martyr's death, how he was going to be given over and betrayed, and how he's going to be crucified at the hands of the religious leaders. And Peter speaks up. And he says, no, Lord, may that never happen. And Jesus rebuked him and said, get behind me, Satan, for your mind is not on the things of God, but on the things of man. So in other words, Jesus being crucified was God's plan. And then Jesus even said, this is God's plan. I'm going to be crucified. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it says the Lamb was crucified before the foundation of the whole world. Before the foundation, the world. So God's plan all along, from the very beginning, before the first man and woman were ever created, was that Jesus was going to come and be the one who would rescue man, who God knew would rebel, who God knew would fall into sin. So life comes out of death. It's Good Friday because life comes out of Jesus' death. Jesus said in John chapter 12, he said, except the seed fall to the ground and is buried, it remains alone. But if it falls to the ground and is buried, it'll bear much fruit. So the death of Jesus brings about something so great that it would never be possible had it not been that Jesus, his life fell to the ground. He was buried as the seed of God for you and I. And so it's important that we understand, when we think about Good Friday, it's good because of at least four reasons that I want to share with you on this Friday evening. It's good because our debt was paid. Our debt was paid. We had a debt to God. We owed a debt to God. The innocent died for the guilty. Jesus was completely innocent. He had no sin whatsoever. And so when he died, he was covering our sins with his blood, our sin debt. And so it's Good Friday because our sin debt was paid. And so when we receive Jesus by faith as our Lord and our Savior, and we ask him to come into my life, be my Savior, forgive my sin, at that moment, Jesus comes in. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we become a new creation. Not an old creation painted over, but a brand new creation. We're mysteriously, wonderfully born of the Spirit of God. There has to be a spiritual birth in your life, a moment where you begin with God. No one grows into becoming a Christian. No one just decides. There has to be a spiritual birth. And so at that spiritual birth, that very moment when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, our debt's completely paid. Forever. All sin is paid for. The innocent died for the guilty. And so our debt was paid. That's why it's Good Friday. Go ahead and say that with me. It's Good Friday because my debt's been paid. It's Good Friday because my debt's been paid. Hallelujah. Forever. Forever. All sin, past, present, and future, has been covered by Jesus. In fact, his death was an overpayment for your sins. You could never sin enough and out-sin the grace of God in the blood of Jesus. Our debt was paid. Second thing, why it's Good Friday, is because a door was opened, a portal in the heavens, a way to God. A door was opened. You know, in John chapter 10, Jesus said that he is the door. He's the door in the sheepfold for the sheep to come in. He's the door to God. He's the portal. When Jesus died, and I hope you saw the Passion movie this week. If not, it's a good time to see it tonight. But in that part, especially when the veil in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, and then the Ark of the Covenant would be seen. At that very moment, God was saying, a door is open. Jesus is the door. When Jesus died and he said, it is finished, a door was open. A portal was open to God. We didn't have that before. We'd have to go through these rituals. We would have to offer up these animal sacrifices to temporarily atone for sin. But now a door has been opened. It's Good Friday because our debt has been paid. It's Good Friday because a door has been opened to us. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10, we have boldness now to enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way. Open to us through the veil that is his body or his flesh. A door's been opened. Your debt's been paid. An invitation has been sent out to the whole world. And we, as God's ambassadors, keep repeating that invitation. Whosoever will may come. Remember the parable of the wedding banquet? Where Jesus tells the story that this man was having a wedding banquet for his son. And he invited all these different people, his friends and people that he thought would come. And every one of them had excuses why they couldn't be there. No, I just put my crop in the ground. I need to tend to it. Or I just got married or whatever it was. They had a ton of excuses and none of them could show up. And so this came back to the father who wanted this banquet feast, his wedding banquet for his son. And he got angry and he said, now go out into the highways and hedges and anybody you can find, you invite him to my feast because a banquet has been prepared. You invite him in so my house can be full. My house will be full. And so all these people that were preoccupied with the busyness of life missed the greatest moment of all. God wanted his house full. Heaven is open to you. You have an open heaven above you. You don't have to go to a priest to confess your sins. Jesus is your high priest. You don't have to go to a church building to have fellowship with God. An open heaven is above you wherever you go. It's not based on your performance. It's not based on your behavior, whether you've been good enough or worthy enough today. An open heaven is there because of the blood of Jesus has been shed. An open portal. It's wide open for you. Take advantage of it. So it's Good Friday. It's Good Friday because our debt has been paid in full. Hallelujah. It's Good Friday because a door in heaven is open above you. You have access to God, bold access. You boldly go in as a son of God, and you have fellowship with your Father, you make request, a door has been opened. But number three, the demands of God's law has been fulfilled. That's why it's Good Friday. It's Good Friday because the demands of God's law, His perfect law, has been fulfilled. I want to read you a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And the scripture here says so beautifully, "For Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." So Christ has one time and one time only, suffered for sins. Not like in the Old Testament where you sin, you brought an animal sacrifice, they slayed it for you, poured out the blood. Next day, if you sinned again, you needed to bring another sacrifice. This sacrifice was one time and one time only, and it was good enough to cover all our sins, sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. Christ also suffered for sins once, the just for the unjust. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. It's Good Friday because our debt has been paid, number one. It's Good Friday because a door has been opened to God. We have access. It's Good Friday because the demands of God's law, his perfect law, have been completely met and satisfied. God is a God of justice. He can't just look at us because he loves us and say, "Well, I love you so much, I'll just ignore your sin." If he did that, he would not be just. God is a just God. He's a perfectly just God. And perfect justice demands that the justice come for the crime. And so Jesus, the just one without sin, died for the unjust so he might satisfy God's law and bring us to God. I like Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. In fact, I love the whole book of Galatians because if you're going to understand grace, you need to understand the book of Galatians. Six chapters worth you soaking in. But particularly in the middle of that book of Galatians, it says this, that Christ Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Jesus redeemed us, bought us back from the curse. The curse of the law is if you do not keep the law 100%, then it is a curse to you. All the curses of the law, of breaking the law, come on you. So Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, our failure to be able to keep it. Aren't you glad we don't live under the law like that today? No one would have access to God. No one's debt would be paid. But Jesus became a curse for us. When you watch the Passion movie, if you haven't already, especially upon the cross, Jesus was not only severely beaten and to where no man would even recognize him as a human being, but that's what Scripture says, but he became a curse. He took on sin. He'd never had sin in his life. He took on our sin, the sin of the whole world, every ugly, horrible thing that you could possibly ever imagine, ever, whether it be rape, whether it be murder, molestation, whether it be stealing, lying, the worst of the worst, Jesus actually took all that on him. It says he became sin. Wow. He became sin. He took the curse. He became sin. So when you see Jesus on the cross, it's not just the physical suffering and pain, but Jesus was satisfying God's law. The soul that sins, it must die, God's law says. The wages of sin is death. That's what God's law says. And death is not just physical death, but it was eternal separation from God in a place called hell. Of course, Jesus is not in hell. He satisfied the law's demands, and he had no sin whatsoever. We would have been in hell eternally had Jesus not satisfied the law's demands. So it's Good Friday. It's really Good Friday. Our debt has been paid. Hallelujah. A door is open in heaven for us. We have access to God. Hallelujah. It's Good Friday. And the demands of God's perfect law have been satisfied by Jesus, the just for the unjust. And last but not least, I want you to see it's Good Friday because the dominion of sin is over. The dominion of sin is over. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. And the word tree there means the cross. He bore our sins in his body on the cross, on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his stripes, by his wounds, you were healed. Now, what does that mean? Let's unpack that. When Christ died, he broke sin's power or dominion where we would have to pay the consequences, which would have been eternal death. See, when the dominion, you think about dominion, the dominion of something is the rule of something. A king has a dominion, an area where he rules, he has authority. And sin had dominion over the whole world. It had dominion over every human being, every man, woman, and child. And so its domain was it where sin ruled over the whole human race because the human race had broken God's law that demanded justice. And God couldn't just forgive it and ignore it. There had to be justice. So a judgment day. And judgment day means that you got a day in court. And judgment day for us as believers is Good Friday. Judgment day, our day in court, was Good Friday. That's why it's a good day. Your day in court. Imagine you go to court. You've committed some crimes. You know you're guilty. And your day in court comes. The prosecutor stands up, reads out in detail every ugly crime you've ever committed. The judge says, "How do you plead?" And just before you're about to say that you're guilty, because you know that you are, out of the corner of a room, a man steps up and says, "Your Honor, I'm the advocate for the defense. My client pleads not guilty. In fact, all this record of sin is no longer on the records that the prosecutor's trying to accuse. They've all been dismissed." And of course, the judge would look at the record. And when you're born again, that's what happens. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses out all your sin. There's no more record. There's nothing there. You're clean. It's as if you've never sinned. That's the grace of God. That's the goodness of God. The Bible says that Jesus died once for all, one time. He's never going to die again on the cross. God will never let that happen. The sacrifice of Jesus was enough to pay for all of our sins, your sins, my sins, the whole world's sins. And all we have to do is believe on, trust in, rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that his blood was what satisfied God's law, God's demands, so that we don't have to pay that penalty. Now, when you watch the Passion movie, if you haven't already, I watched it last night, the part where Jesus is on the cross and the Roman soldiers have taken hammers and they've broken the legs of the other two criminals. They come to Jesus. He's already dead. That was fulfilling scripture, the saying that no bone of Jesus would be broken. But instead, the Roman soldier takes his spear and he jabs up into the side of Jesus. And when he pulls it out, blood and water pour out all over him and all over those around him. And that is a perfect example of what I want to explain to you. The blood of Jesus is what cleanses us from sin forever. Jesus will never have to die again. There'll never be an animal sacrifice that'll take away sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. But there was water that came out. Blood and water came out of his side. The Bible calls the Word of God the washing of the water of the Word. So the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin when we put our trust in Jesus. But the water represents the Word of God, which washes our mind and our heart and our conscience of sin when we allow it to wash us, when we read it, when we meditate upon it. We wash daily in the water of the Word of God, and it changes our mind, it cleanses our conscience, it removes all the guilt. I want to read you something that you are familiar with, but You need to hear it. The Bible tells us who are in Christ Jesus. And we who are in Christ Jesus, we know that in our flesh or in our daily lives, we're not perfect. We still mess up. We sin sometimes intentionally. We do things we shouldn't. We get weak. We cave in to temptations and things that we know that we shouldn't. Then we feel guilty, and it's almost you feel like you need a bath or you need to get saved again. Well, the blood of Jesus was shed one time. Jesus is not going to go back to the cross. He doesn't need to. His blood is what saved you and made you right with God. All you need after that is a washing of the water of the Word. There is therefore now no condemnation, none, for those who are in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Think about that. Before you were saved, you lived under the law of sin and death. In other words, the law of sin and death works like this. You sin, instantly there's death. In other words, you didn't die physically, but death separated you from God. If you'd have died in your sins physically, you'd have gone to hell forever. That was the law of sin and death, that sin had dominion over you. Sin had power over you. It brought about death in your life. It might have been pleasurable for a moment, but the end result was death. But now, once you're born of the Spirit of God, you've been set free from that. You're no longer living under the law of sin and death. You live under the higher law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So that now, even though you may sin, and you don't intentionally want to go out and do this, but even though you sin as a Christian, you don't live under the law of sin and death any longer. You live under the law law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That is, it's constant. You'll never be condemned. God will never condemn you. Now, the enemy will condemn you, but you are never condemned. And you're always righteous. You're always forgiven. You're already clean. You're already sanctified by the blood. But you just need the water of the Word to wash your conscience, to wash your mind. Get your mind clean. And so, isn't that beautiful? We're no longer under the dominion of sin. If we were, that would be a miserable way to live. So, the dominion of sin has been broken over us. And Romans, all through the Bible, this is verified. Romans 6:1 says, sin, talking to believers, sin no longer has dominion over you. I'd like you to say that with me. Sin no longer has dominion over me. In other words, it can't rule over you. It can't bring hell into your life. It cannot cause death in your life. You've been set free from that. Now, are there consequences for sin here on earth that we experience? Well, sure there are. If you go steal something, shoplift something or whatever, you get caught, you're going to pay the consequences of that, but you won't pay the consequences of it going to hell. That's already been taken care of. And your relationship with God, you may grieve the Spirit of God, but your relationship with God never changes. You're still a son of God. You're still a daughter of God. That never changes. You were disobedient, but your relationship never changes. You know, as a parent, if you have children or grandchildren, you know that sometimes your kids will do things that disappoint you and may hurt you, may grieve you and all that. But it doesn't stop them from being your child. They'll always be your child. That's the relationship, you see. You'll always be their father. You'll always be their mother. But you may not have the fellowship close like you would like it to be. Sin never affects our relationship with God. You know, God's always in a good mood. He's never moody. He's never grumpy. Now, the Spirit of God can be grieved by us, but as far as His love for us, that never changes. Hallelujah. It never changes. It's always the same. And so we still sin, but sin doesn't have dominion any longer over our lives. Aren't you glad? Like it used to. See, we believe God. Now, the Scripture tells us, okay, since this is true, don't let sin reign or have dominion in your mortal body. How? You're to rule over it. You reign now in Christ, and you've got to renew your mind with the washing of the water of the Word. And then the more you do that, the easier it is for you to not let sin take back dominion over you again. So, I shared with you four reasons why it's Good Friday. It's Good Friday because our debt has been paid. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. My debt has been paid. It's Good Friday. Praise God. Secondly, not only has my debt been paid, a door has been opened in heaven for me. I have access to God. I don't have to go to a priest. I don't have to go to a church building. I have direct access to God. A door was opened for me. It's Good Friday. My debt's been paid. A door's been opened. Number three, the demands of God's law has been satisfied. It has, completely. Jesus was an overpayment for all of our sins. Justice has been done. In fact, someone says on the cross is where justice and God's mercy kiss. They come together. God's justice was met on the cross. But at the same time, God's mercy was there through Jesus. It all comes together. So the demands of God's law was satisfied. Hallelujah. It's Good Friday. And then finally, the dominion of sin is broken. It no longer has dominion over you. It's Good Friday. He bore our sins in His body on the tree, and by His stripes we are healed. The debt has been paid. The door has been opened. The demands of the law are satisfied, and the dominion of sin is over. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe this? Do you believe those four things and many more about Good Friday? If you believe your debt was paid, the door was open, demands of the law have been satisfied, the dominion of sin is over, if you believe this, then guess what? This is really Good Friday for you. Hallelujah. It's Good Friday. So you wish everyone who is a believer a Good Friday. It is Good Friday. Everything's been taken care of. Someone had a great sermon years ago entitled, It's Friday. And Friday, Jesus was, he died on the cross. The sky grew dark. Clouds came. Earthquake happened. People were afraid. They thought God was angry. In light of all of this drama going on, it's Friday when Jesus was taken down. And he was buried in a rich man's tomb. And the stone was rolled over. And this title of this sermon was, It's Friday. And right now it may look dark, it may look grim, we may not see how things are going to ever change, but Sunday's coming. And Sunday's Resurrection Day. Yes, it may be Friday in your life right now. It may look dark, may look grim. You may not understand how things are ever going to change and get better. But the good news, Sunday's coming. Resurrection Day's coming. And everything changes with Resurrection Day. Amen. Good Friday is here. Sunday's coming. It gets better. God bless you all. I'm glad you're here tonight, and I appreciate you allowing me to speak into your life. Thank you for being so faithful. If you have your elements with you, let's go ahead and partake of communion at this time. I love to partake of communion. I don't do it as a ritual. I do it as a reminder to me, to bring me back to center, to help me recalibrate my heart, my life, about what my life's all about. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he said, this will be the last time that I have communion with you. Until the next time I have communion with you, it'll be in heaven. So Jesus is not having the bread and the juice anymore until we have it with him in heaven one day. But he told us that we should do it as often as we want to, and especially in this time of year. And so when you take, I take a piece of matzo bread, you can take a piece of any bread, I think matzo bread is best because it's unleavened, and you look at it and you think of what Jesus said. Jesus picked up bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, now take and eat this. This is my body, broken for you. He was trying to illustrate a teachable moment that the life that is coming for them and the life that now is for us is we partake of Jesus. We eat him. We eat his body, eat his flesh, so to speak. You are what you eat. So the food that you eat goes into your body. It becomes skin, teeth, cells, hair. It becomes those things in you. Your food turns into the thing that you need. It nourishes you, brings life to you. And Jesus was saying, this is what I'm doing for you. Partake of me. By faith, believe. This is the body of Christ that was given for you. Notice that it's pierced, has holes in it. It has bruising on it. Jesus did this for you and I. Never take it for granted. So on Good Friday, we have communion. We say, thank you, Lord. You are my bread. You are my life. You are my nourishment. You are my strength. Without you, I can do nothing. I receive you in my life. My Lord, my God, my Savior, my strength. In Jesus' name. In the same way, he took the cup. And in that cup was the fruit of the vine. Looks like blood. And Jesus raised his cup up and he gave thanks to God. And he said, this is my blood, which is shed for the remission of your sins. He hadn't died on the cross yet, but he was foretelling, this is what's going to happen. This is my blood. And the cup represented his life. The cup was holding his blood. His body was holding. He's giving his life for us. He's laying down his life for us. He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, God, for the new covenant in your blood. Thank you, God. Thank you. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, later that evening, and he talked about, when he was praying to the Father, he talked about, Father, if there's any other way, can this cup be removed from my life? He's talking about a cup there. And a cup is what holds something. What was he talking about at that cup? And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, can you remove this cup from me? I believe he was talking about in that cup, God would place all the sin of the whole world in that cup. And he was about to drink that cup upon the cross and take in all the sin of the world. Is there any other way, Father, that this could be done? And there in Gethsemane, and we all have to have our own Gethsemane. Gethsemane means wine press. It means pressure. All the pressure of the world was upon Jesus. And at that moment, he said these words, and this is where the victory was. Nevertheless, not my will, not my desire, but your will be done. He laid down his life willingly, and he partook. It took all of our sins just a few hours later on the cross. It's Good Friday, especially Good Friday for you and I. Our debt's been paid. Hallelujah. Forever. The dominion of sin is broken. God bless you. Thank you for being with me tonight. I pray that you will have a wonderful, restful night. I pray that you'll be encouraged. And remember, Sunday's coming. Resurrection Day, the main event of our lives. It'll be the first time, as far as I know in history, that the churches all over the world are not able to join together. So it's a unique time. I'll have a unique message for you. And I hope you will join us Sunday morning at 10:30, and we'll see you there, okay? God bless you, folks. I love you all. Thank you. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much. Thank you for those comments. Thank you so much. Oh, you're precious. I'm praying for you. If you have any needs, feel free to call me. Feel free to email me, whatever you need. We're here praying for you. And, you know, you're the reason we are here. You're the reason we do this, because we love you. God gave you to us and us to you to love you, to care for you, to shepherd you, to pray for you, to encourage you, to help you through difficult times, whatever it is. That's why we're here. And we gladly lay down our lives for that purpose. That's what we're called to do. Mm-hmm. There's my wife behind you.
No. don't turn it off because Jenny wants to do the music.
All right. Jenny's going to put some music on there. Okay, okay, great, Jenny. So hang on. Don't hang up. Don't go anywhere yet.
You're
a couple seconds behind, but hang in there, okay? Hang on here and pay attention. Jenny's going to try to put some music on and we can worship together. Okay, so don't go anywhere. Stay right here with us. And Jenny's going to get some music for us. These are all new things for us. So it's a new day. We're learning new things. So hang here with us. Don't hang up. Don't go off.
Press the I button where you see the eyeball up at the top.
Live.
No, the I next to it.
Okay.
Okay. And then what, Jenny? I'll find Jenny.
All right. Hold on. We're working here.
Okay.
We're the...
The black button.
All right. Hold on, folks.
No, it only has... it doesn't. Now, it did on mine, but not on his.
Nope.
I'm watching him. It didn't on
mine. I'm trying to... Get this one thing here going. Hang in there, folks. I know this is odd. Nope. We were hopeful to get some music here for you. Yep, can't wait to be back in church. Thank you. I'm waiting, Jenny, so let me know something I can do. Oh, thank you, Annie. Sing to us. Joey, you put me on the spot here. I wasn't thinking about that. I'll be prepared Sunday just in case. All right. Is there anything else here, Jenny? I'll take a walk here, see if we can figure this out. Anything else? Because I can't get it.
Just the people can stay on. Jenny might be able to get it onto her phone, onto their
phone. Okay. All right. I'm going to click off here, and then Jenny's going to try to bring you some music on here that she has prepared, okay? God bless you guys.